Copy of Scripture is Psalm 89. We will read the first 18 verses that comprises the first part of this psalm, and that is a psalmist's hope and certainty that he has. The second section really deals with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's anointed, and that's why the psalmist has hope and confidence. And then the psalm ends with a third section, which was really a lament at what he sees taking place in the church of Jesus, the church of the Old Testament. So I'm going to read the first 18 verses. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. My texts are the verses 15 and 16. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of that word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this year we celebrated the 400th anniversary of the Synod of Dort. Of significance of that synod, of course, were the 5 points of Calvinism over against the Remonstrants. But also of importance was the church order that was drawn up. And in that church order, there was a stipulation that there would be at least 2 worship services on Sunday. One of the worship services dedicated to the preaching of the Heidelberg Catechism, giving instruction and preaching the whole counsel of God. How sad when we see today Reformed churches abandoning and removing that stipulation from their church order. As I wrote in the Standard Bearer, the Christian Reformed Church Synod voted this past June and has to be ratified next year to remove two of their church order articles. Article 51, which they already changed in 95, saying ordinarily there will be two worship services. They're eliminating that. And second of all, eliminating Article 54, which says that there will be the preaching of the Heidelberg Catechism. And I bring that up now not to cast stones at others, but to ask this question of you and of me as heirs of that Reformed tradition. Do we cherish having two worship services every Lord's Day, beginning the day communally and ending the day communally in worship? Do we cherish having the whole counsel of God explained through the Heidelberg Catechism? Are these things important to us and to our children and to our children's children? My theme this morning is the blessedness of the people who know the joyful sound. Notice with me, first of all, what is that sound? Second of all, knowing that sound. And then thirdly, the blessedness of those who know it. What is the joyful sound? Knowing that joyful sound and the blessedness of those who know it. What is that sound? What is the joyful sound? We could answer it in one word. The name Jesus. Jehovah saves, or Jehovah salvation. What is the joyful sound? It is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. It's the gospel being sounded forth. The psalmist is speaking here in the context of the Old Testament of the sound of the silver trumpets. Silver trumpets that were fashioned and were sounded forth first in the tabernacle. The tabernacle that later on was situated at Shiloh, there was the tent of meeting where God would meet with his people. There was the tabernacle where there was the Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat. There was the tabernacle where the burnt offerings were offered to the Lord as a covering for sin. And the sound of those silver trumpets sounded later on at the temple. They would sound there on the walls of Zion. They would sound to call the people to worship. They would call the people announcing the coming of the Sabbath day. Of those silver trumpets, we read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." Or again, Leviticus 25, verse 9. "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the tenth day of the seventh month. In the day of the atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." In the ten first verses of Numbers chapter 10, the Lord tells Moses, "Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, yes, in that chapter we find that those trumpets would also be used at times to call God's people to fight against their enemies. Psalm 81, verse 3, we read, "Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, even on the solemn feast day." So notice, first of all, then, the two silver trumpets. They are pictures. They are types. The purity of the metal, silver, and the preciousness of that metal. No alloys were to be used of one piece. The pureness and the preciousness of the gospel. And in your mind's eye or ear, can you hear? Can you hear those trumpets calling God's people to worship? A clear, a piercing, a penetrating sound reverberating through the mountains around Jerusalem, calling God's people to worship. Meet with your God. Oh, that must be a sound that grabs hold of one's heart and one's mind. Turn to the Lord. Come up to Jerusalem. Come to the temple with its ark with a mercy seat on it. Come to the altar of burnt offering where sacrifices are made for the removal of sin. The trumpet's sounding. Turn your thoughts to prepare yourself for meeting your God for worship, to give praise and homage. The sound of the silver trumpets is the gospel of good news. Jehovah saves. What is being declared in the gospel? Come to a place where God is pleased to dwell in fellowship with his people. Come where God is to be found. Come, for God gathers to himself. He receives a people in his favor and his love to forgive them their sins, to deliver them from their sins, and to bless them. What an assurance in that sound. God is with us and for us. God beckons us to draw nigh, and then he sends us away with his blessing. The sound of the silver trumpets. But in this psalm, there is a contrast. There is a contrast between a people that still hear and receive the silver trumpets and the call to worship. That's our text. Blessed are those people. And there is, second of all, a people where that sound has been silenced and heard no more. As I said, the third part of the psalm is a lament. There's a change in tone between verses 37 and 38. In verse 37, we read about a faithful witness. And then verse 38, but in contrast, thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed, thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant, thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground, thou hast broken down all his hedges, thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He's a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Something's happened. What's taken place? And the answer is there has been a judgment taken place. You'll notice that this is a maskal of Ethan the Ezrahite. The word maskal means instruction. He's going to give teaching to the people. Who is Ethan? The Ezrahite. Well, we know from 1 Kings chapter 4 that he lived during the reign of King Solomon, and he was one of the four wisest men of the kingdom. But Ethan the Ezrahite has seen the foolishness of King Solomon, the foolishness of taking in heathen wives and setting up heathen places of worship for them right in Jerusalem. And there is a judgment. There is a judgment for King Solomon's bad example to the people. And so Ethan asks these questions. Verse 46, "How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself? Forever shall thy wrath burn like a fire." Verse 49, "Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest unto David in thy truth?" Verse 38, "Hast thou cast off and abhorred? Is it all over and done with? Has God made void his covenant?" Through Solomon's foolishness, that is his sin, the 10 tribes are taken away. You boys and girls, you know from catechism that Jeroboam was called to be their king. And Jeroboam didn't want them to go up to Jerusalem. He didn't want them to hear the sound of the silver trumpets. And so he set up golden calves in Dan and in Bethel. And he says, "These are your gods." And we know that the 10 northern tribes, they said, "What part have we with the house of David?" What horrible, horrible sin. They were saying, "What part have we in the promise of God, in that promised seed?" That is, what part have we in Jesus Christ, who is to come, the Messiah? So no blowing of the silver trumpets in the northern tribes. And on the throne of Judah and Benjamin is Solomon's son, Rehoboam, a wicked, sinful man. Yes, Ethan sees. He sees the anger and the wrath of God, the silencing of the silver trumpets calling to worship. And he says, what happens? What happens to that loving kindness of God that he swore to David? What happens to the kingdom of David and the kingdom of David's seed, Jesus Christ? The last part of this psalm is a lament. It seems gone. It seems forfeited. Our God's promise is not going to be realized. Is there now no one coming to banish this unrighteousness? For you'll notice in the last half of verse 16 that the hope of the child of God, the hope of the believer, has to do with righteousness. "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted," and only in God's righteousness and the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, is their hope, is their life, is their exaltation. Who will establish that righteousness again? And who will do battle against the unrighteousness? Our hope, beloved, is in a kingdom of righteousness from sea to sea, as we sing later on in Psalter number 200, Christ kingdom. Christ shall have dominion from sea to sea. That's what verses 3 and 4 of the psalm are all about, and that whole middle portion of the psalm. "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations." Christ, kingdom of righteousness. A righteousness of God. A righteousness imputed to those who are His, who believe on Him. And now Ethan the Ezrahite is teaching the children of Israel, and he's asking a question: will that righteous kingdom come? Will it be established? For there was terrible apostasy in Israel and in Judah. Have we forfeited these promises? But notice how he begins the psalm. Verse 1, as Ethan writes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You see, hope. Hope lies in the twin pillars of God's mercy and God's faithfulness. God is merciful. That means God takes action with His people. He takes action with His people not according to their worth and surely not according to their works, but according to their need. He sees their woeful condition and He hears their groan. How long, Lord, wilt Thou hide Thyself forever? Shall Thy wrath burn like fire? Mercy, beautiful word. Faithfulness to all generations. Faithfulness to Himself, faithfulness to His word, faithfulness to His promise, faithfulness to His people. The goodness of God to all generations, that is, saving a people and their children. He says, I'll save you and your household. Beloved, those two words, mercy and faithfulness to all generations, speak of God's covenant, doesn't it? God's unbreakable, God's unconditional, God's eternal covenant. The very life that He has in Himself that He now takes His people up into, it will not be broken. God's faithfulness to all generations. And so we have the prayers of godly parents praying for a rebellious son or a rebellious daughter, that the Lord will work a work in their hearts and bring them back. Or in Singapore, faithfulness to all generations, young people that come into the church praying for their parents, that the Lord will bring them also in through their witness. Or perhaps in our churches, young people or young adults praying for their parents who in middle age or older are foolish and sinful and walking in sin and departing from the church. That is the sound. Jehovah saves. Jehovah's mercy and faithfulness. Come, meet with your God. It is a joyful sound in spite of the apostasy of the nation. For there will be Sabbaths. God says, my gospel will go forth, if not by the king on the throne, then the priest Zadok will sound those trumpets, at least in Judah. God is present, even though there are the sins of the house of David. God is in His temple and He will receive His people. Ask your petitions and He will be found. He is there. He is there in His seed or His anointed one, Jesus Christ. Verse 24, my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Or again, in verse 27, we have the same kind of theme coming through. Verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever in his throne as the days of heaven. What a God. what a joyful sound goes forth. God makes himself found in Jesus Christ. What a gospel. It is a joyful sound about our God. It is a joyful sound made by our God. God says, I open up my heart to you. I'm not only a God of wrath for in the way of your sins, but also covenant mercy and faithfulness. God binds himself to his word, and Ethan clings to it. Notice from verses 30 and following, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, oh, that's a beautiful word there. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. God says, I'm going to do what you can't do. I will establish that righteous kingdom. And I will establish that righteousness that is demanded of me. I will be a God that you can approach. I will not only spare you, but when you come, I will embrace you. How can you not be filled with joy when you hear that sound and when your hope is revived? That is a joyful sound to us and to our children. God says, I will work sorrow in your hearts. I will turn you away from your evil ways. And I will work life in your hearts and in the hearts of your children. Ask with me why. Why is the Lord willing to do that to his people, Judah? Why is he willing to do that with you and with me? We know God because of his grace. Grace shown to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel has Jesus Christ at its center, as he is at the center of this psalm. God will save for himself a people. So we are able to sing then with Jeremiah the prophet in Lamentations chapter 3 these words, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The silver trumpets, the call of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, not mixed with alloy, pure and precious. The sound is not sour, but it is joyful, a clear, a penetrating, a piercing sound. May it go forth. That's the first point. Now the second point. The psalmist writes, blessed are the people that know the sound of the joyful sound. That know the joyful sound. Now, the Holy Spirit could have had Ethan write here instead, blessed are the people that hear the joyful sound, but that's not the Hebrew word that he uses. But he uses the word know. The word know, which has the connotation of intimacy, a relationship. They know the joyful sound. There's a difference, a vast difference. Many heard the joyful sound in Ethan's day. Even though it was silenced in the northern tribes, it was still heard in Judah. And as the sound would reverberate in the mountains, it could be heard in Moab and in Edom and in Philistia. Heard as that sound went forth with a piercing and penetrating the mountains. But how many, when they heard the sound going forth in Judah, did not receive it in joy? Why not? Why not? Oh, the Sabbath is here again. Oh, I have to lay aside the things I'd rather be doing, my own delights. Now we're supposed to bring our best sacrifices to Jerusalem. Come and worship. They were not interested in the sound of the silver trumpets. They did not delight in the sound. Let me bring that to today. Today, as I wrote in an article, there are many that do no longer hear the silver trumpet. They and their generations no longer come to church. Silenced in churches, the silver trumpet removed and replaced by entertainment, dance, song, drama, stories, entertainment. Or if it is heard, not received in faith. No time. Come twice to church on Sunday? Catechism preaching? Doctrine? A poll was taken by one of their pastors of the most faithful members, that is the leadership. Elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, those in the places of authority. How often do you come to church in a regular month? And according to their poll, the average was 2 worship services a month. 2. One of the churches in Grand Rapids is advertising as they announce their worship service. For those of you who no longer have a second worship service on Sunday, we invite you to come join us at our church. Why is there the silencing of the silver trumpet? And the answer is, as in Israel, not all are Israel that are of Israel. Not all are truly God's people who take that name upon themselves. Not all that are called Christians are really Christians. And so Ethan speaks to the apostasy going on in his day. And as Isaiah is later on sent to go forth in Isaiah chapter 6, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy and shut their eyes. It's a work of God's wrath. They hear, but there's no heart. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read in verses 2 and 3, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap for themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth. Jesus warns after he speaks the parable of the different soils. Luke 8, verse 18, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Take heed how you hear. You see, there's a difference between hearing and knowing. Knowing is heart knowledge. There are many who hear the gospel still today, because they go through the rituals. They're supposed to be there at least once on Sunday. There are others who come for intellectual stimulation. Even when Paul was in Athens, there was a good crowd that came to listen to him. For we read, all the Athenians and strangers that were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They wanted intellectual stimulation. They want to hear with the head profound doctrines. But don't start applying it to my life. Don't tell me how I have to live. Don't come with any commandments for my life. You know what that's called? That's called dead orthodoxy. Dead orthodoxy. We need to be not only hearers, but doers of the word. When Jesus was preaching in the temple, there would be many in the multitude, as we'll hear tonight. But those many in the multitude did not all come to hear and to receive Jesus' word, but many were in that multitude were there just to criticize, to find fault. And we need to watch that today in our churches. How do you come to church? Do you come in faith to hear what the Lord has to say to his people, or do you come to hear what the preacher is going to say and to find fault, to criticize him for the words or the phrases? And I know what I'm speaking because as a preacher, when I sit in the pew, I have to watch myself. Because it's easy for me to sit in the pew and say, I would have said it this way. I would have brought up this point. I would have said it a little different. Now I have to pray, Lord, keep me from being critical. Let me hear the word of Jesus Christ brought through this instrument. Now perhaps you say, but we're all believers in the office of believer. We need to be like the Berean searching the scripture. Yes, yes. But what is your attitude when you come to church? Is it to hear a man and the way he brings the gospel? Is it for intellectual stimulation? Or is it to hear Jesus Christ? You have elders here. They supervise the preaching of the word. Come in faith to hear the word. What difficulty it is at times for young pastors to bring the word of God. My father asked the question when I came back from the Philippines. And he says, why? Why do you want to come back? There they are eager to hear the word. They just soak it up while you come back here. And there's always people in the pew that know it better or think they do. God keep us from that critical attitude. For we pray. We pray, don't we, for young men for the ministry. If we have that kind of critical attitude beating them up, there's not going to be many mothers in Zion who encourage and pray for their sons to enter the gospel ministry. How do we hear? Do we hear in faith? Do we receive the word preached as the word of Christ Jesus to his church? Jehovah saves. Come meet with me. Enjoy fellowship with me. And rejoice. Rejoice in that joyful sound. Notice with me then, lastly, the blessedness. The blessedness of the people who hear the joyful sound. Notice those the's in there. Not a people, the people. God's elect remnant who hear the one single sound, the gospel sound. Blessed are the people who hear the joyful sound. What is their blessedness? Well, verse 15. We read, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. What does that mean? Knowing the joyful sound, they behold with their eyes the countenance of God, that is the favor and the love of God upon themselves. It's knowing this God is my God. He is my Savior, my Redeemer. It is knowing His unfailing mercy and faithfulness to me, a sinner. It's to know His covenant. He is my God and I am His. My family's His. It's knowing God's favor and love and grace. Oh, whatever the afflictions and trials of God's people, whatever dangers or difficulties you're going through, yet blessed. Blessed because God has accepted you, received you, made you His own by the precious blood of His Son. Oh, may the tunes stick with us. This is one of the favorites of boys and girls singing of the mercy and the faithfulness of God to all generations. So may we join with God's people at God's command in the worship, the service of our God. God's covenant isn't broken, but it was established, it was realized, and it is perfected in Jesus Christ. So we experience God's countenance smiling on us. Second of all, the blessedness of the people that know the joyful sound is they shall walk in the light of thy countenance. That is, God's favor, God's grace on there is the cause. It is the basis of our walk. We live in grace and favor with God. He is light, and therefore He is our life. We walk. We walk in faith and uprightness. That is, we endeavor to please this God, to be acceptable. We are eager to serve Him, obey Him, hear Him as He warns us, as He directs us, as He guides us by His Word and Spirit. Hearing and receiving the joyful sound of the gospel, it moves our hearts and it directs our lives so that there's not only a faithful confession on our lips, but then there is a life that honors that confession of the lips. This God is our God. The blessedness of the people that know the joyful sound, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Thirdly, the blessedness. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. They know the joyful sound, and therefore they are a joyful people. The doctrine makes sense to them in their heart. They know their Redeemer. They are a joyful people. Oh, yes, we're sinners. We're miserable sinners. No good in us of ourselves, but we belong to Jesus Christ. We are redeemed. We're forgiven. We are His children. Notice in that verse, they shall rejoice in thy name, and they will rejoice in thy righteousness. Not only rejoice at it, but that intimate connection. Connection with God in Christ Jesus. They rejoice in thy name. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. What is that righteousness? Beloved, that's the truth of justification, isn't it? That's why it's such a joyful noise. Because it's not our righteousness, but the joyful sound is God grants His righteousness, a righteousness in Jesus Christ, imputed to you and me, sinners. It becomes our righteousness. In thy righteousness, they shall be exalted. What a thought. What a thought to sinners like you and me. We shake our heads. We hardly dare to lift our heads because our sins are so many again at the end of a week. But we hear the joyful sound, Jehovah saves. And we know that we filthy sinners have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and his righteousness has been imputed to us. It's ours. And therefore we're accepted by God. He meets with us. It is not only his righteousness imputed to us, but by the Holy Spirit, it is his righteousness worked in us so that we conduct ourselves as sons and daughters of God. There is a kingdom of righteousness established by Jesus Christ, and by grace we're members of that kingdom, a kingdom of priests. So may we be joyful then when there is the joyful sound, when the gospel is preached Sunday morning and Sunday evening, when the catechism is opened up and the precious truths of the gospel are applied to our hearts and lives twice each Sunday. Not moaning, oh, is it Sunday? I just want to sleep in. Not saying, do I have to go to church again, boys and girls? Not going to church just because, well, it's expected of me. But with a joy in our hearts, we hear the call to worship. Come up. Knowing the joyful sound, blessed are the people of God. Amen. Father in heaven, how undeserving we are. What murmuring and complaining we do at times. But we thank thee. We thank thee that in our generations, we as Reformed people have been called to thy house twice at least on Sundays to hear the preaching of the gospel. We thank thee, Father, for the preaching of the catechism. We're thankful, Father, for faithful men called and equipped by thee to bring that word to thy people. We pray, bless them, the preaching of the gospel, so that we may be a people that know thy favor and love and walk in the light of thy countenance and rejoice in thy righteousness given to us. Hear us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.